There we say good morning to Ward 7 Aldermanic candidate Joe McMinniman. Joe, good morning to you. How are you?
Morning, Sam. Great to be here. I've never been on your show. It's an honor and a privilege to be here.
Well, I'm not sure it's an honor, but certainly nice to have you. What prompted you to decide to seek an Aldermanic post this time?
The issues, Sam. And the issues, by that I mean the city residency requirement. I saw it being a big mistake 10 years ago to unleash our city residents. I think that, and it's not a first or quick response issue to me, it's we want our police officers living in our own neighborhoods. And my own personal poll going door to door after we talk about the issues with residents, and we talk about, do you want the police officer living down the half a block down or in Chatham, Riverton, Sherman, you name it, Rochester? They want their police officers living nearby. But it's also an economic development issue from the point of view that we know what happens when there's more sellers of real estate than buyers. So in the past 10 years since the repeal of the city residency requirement, we've got, back then we had about 1,700 city employees. Over 600 city employees have left town during that period of time. So when you've got more sellers of real estate than buyers, we know what happens to the price of things. And so when prices go down, assessed values go down, and real estate tax revenues are lower than what they would otherwise be. So the economic development. But then other issues. Why did I run? I was, as the weeds got to be 6 foot tall at Kmart parking lot, I thought, well, why isn't the city enforcing the, and I'm getting worked up here because there is some passion about it.
I understand.
Why isn't the city enforcing the ordinances? Why isn't our alderman making some phone calls, making sure that that part of town looks better? I mean, what, 20,000 vehicles pass by Kmart? We want to develop that area. What do newcomers or potential developers think when they come in to that part of town? They don't see the pride of community that we want to have. What about the people that invest in homes there that have to look at Kmart every day, driving on Cherry Road or whatever? So, you know, that was an issue. Another issue would be the pay spikes built into our contracts with our bargaining units, the police, and I don't mean to pick on the police and the firemen because it's the city council that approves contracts.
Sure.
But by pay spike, a lot of people don't realize that, for example, our police officers twice a year on their retirement hiring anniversary and their birthday week anniversary, they get to inflate their salary 5%. Then if they retire during that week, they get a pension 5% larger than it would otherwise be. So, for example, about a year ago when our chief, Ralph Caldwell, eventually took another job, his pay, he had two spikes in the last 2 months of his employment, and so his pay went from $112,000 to $124,000 roughly. And then his final pension is 75% times $125,000, which is about $93,000 year pension, and they get then an automatic 3% increase per year in their pension. So 2 years after retirement, Chief Ralph Caldwell will be making $100,000 a year pension. Well, it's not affordable, and we can't be giving these pay spikes built into the contract. Now, with Ralph Caldwell, that was an administrative discretionary pay spike. It wasn't required, and I was very upset with Mayor Devlin at the time because he was going to the Municipal League and talking about how we have unaffordable pensions, and yet when it came to his own cabinet, he gives a couple of pay spikes in the last 2 months of a cabinet member's employment. So, but getting back to Mayor Devlin, I would say this, that we organized, getting back to Kmart, we organized over 100 hours of volunteer time to clean up that parking lot. And we hauled away two pickup trucks of yard waste and trash. And I'm very happy that when there was overflow parking at Blessed Sacrament Church for Mayor Devlin's funeral attendees, that parking was at the Kmart parking lot. And it looked cleaned up and scrubbed up for the funeral of our mayor. And I was proud that that happened.
You ran for alderman in 1995 and came very close in a different ward, Ward 10. I mean, they've redrawn the wards, I'm sure, and that's what's happened since. Why are you waiting 16 years to come back?
Well, by the way, seven of the existing precincts in Ward 7 are identical to the seven precincts back of what the old Ward 10 was back then. For example, two precincts in Sherwood are the same. Seven Pines area, two precincts are the same. Colony West, the precincts are the same. So there is some identical. I'm very happy to be running the same precincts, many of the same precincts as I did 16 years ago. But why wait? Well, I didn't want to take on Bruce Strom. I thought he was doing a decent job.
But you came very close to him, Joe, in the first time. I mean, it was, what, 30, 40 votes? Wasn't it the largest vote turnout in any ward in the city?
Well, you're right. It was a really heavy turnout and worked really hard door to door, and it was very close. And why didn't I run again? Well, 9-1-1 happened, Sam, and I've been in the Army National Guard for 30 years. I'm still in the Army National Guard, and that turned everybody's life around if you're in the military. And so I lived a life on the bubble for about 10 years. I think I'm going to get off that type of lifestyle, but you don't know when you're going to get deployed, for how long, when the start will be. Well, particularly back after 9-1-1, things were very unpredictable. And we're getting literally 48-hour notices for some units to you know, grab their duffel bags and show up. And I'm on one of my jobs is to help units prepare for deployment. And running for office was really an impossibility there for several years.
Tell me about your background. Where were you born and raised, and how did you end up in Springfield? Were you born and raised here?
You know, Sam, that's a hard question to answer. And when I'm going door to door, I typically say, well, we moved around a whole bunch. And I'm a newcomer to Springfield as of 1979 after law school. But the longer answer is my father was born on a farm in northern Illinois in DeKalb County, you know, a typical farm at the time in 1914 without running water and without electricity. Dad served in the Army. Well, he was a teacher in one-room schoolhouse during the Depression. And then after teaching college and teaching, he went to the University of Illinois and then joined International Harvester. Then there was a break 4 years in the Army. He was officer with the Armored Division in Europe and served 4 years. But then this is the part that I'm getting to, Sam, about to answer your question. Where was I born? Mom and Dad had three kids born in the USA in northern Illinois. Then they moved to New Zealand. They were assigned there.
Wow.
And so then Dad had five boys born in New Zealand. I was one of the five. Then they got reassigned to Australia, two more in Australia. Then we stopped in Evanston. By the way, I went to first grade in I repeated first grade twice, went to first grade on three different continents. Started in Australia. Then we lived in Evanston, Illinois for a while Dad was setting up a place to live in France. And so then I went to France and went to first grade in a French school, the only kid in America, English-speaking kid in a French first grade. So we moved around, a family of 12 moving around. Then we came back to the USA. Dad got a home again. In 1963, we moved back. They were abroad 17 years. And Dad got a home in Evanston. And then Mom and Dad moved up to Lake County, the last county before you get to Wisconsin in Illinois. And so I moved around quite a bit. But that's a good question, because why do I love Springfield? Because it's my adopted home. Moving around, we always had a home, which was our family, combination of love and discipline, and a lot of all parochial education through high school, St. Ignatius Loyola High School for me. It was kind of like Griffin. So when our kids went to Springfield High, and my wife's a public school teacher. She's taught in Collinsville, Leland, Urbana, and then now Springfield. And so we made a commitment to the public schools. But when I go to the Springfield High Sacred Heart Griffin game, it's kind of like looking at my old high school across the field. And I respect the pride and the tradition that you see at the Sacred Heart Griffin. So that's a long answer. Where do you grow up? Where do you move around to? But I wanted to get roots. I wanted roots. You know, you kind of move around. And as a student for 8 years at undergrad U of I, and then I worked for a year, two jobs. I was a nighttime janitor on the graveyard shift and worked another job during the day. When you're one of 12, you can't expect your folks to give too much towards education. And three of my brothers did go to Notre Dame, and I know you're going to ask me, why didn't you, Joe?
No, I'm not going to ask that.
So, you know, I've heard you talk about the Golden Dome, and it's a great institution. And I wanted to go off on my own. I went to the University of Illinois, and so moved around a great bit. So Springfield is my adopted home, and we love it here. My wife and I, we've got my wife is one of nine children, grew up in Eureka, Illinois, where Ronald Reagan went to college. And so our two children have 51st cousins, and I wish I could unleash them in this campaign. Could you imagine what you could do? And but no, none of our the closest relative we have is in Eureka. Madeline Cawley, my wife's mother, who still lives
there. You are an attorney. Are you in private practice?
I'm in private practice. I've scaled it down significantly. I'd say I'm doing about one-third of what I was doing. I'm still in the Army National Guard, and I'm preparing to be the next alderman. I hope the voters will select me, and I'll devote huge amount of time to the duties of the office, and in particular to MacArthur Boulevard.
Two questions. I'm going to take a break and say good morning to Pat Phelan from the INB. When we get back, I'm going to ask a couple questions. Number one, endorsed by either political party, why or why not? And number two, what's on the minds of the voters? We talked about residency. What's on the minds of the voters when you go door to door? 31 past the hour, Joe McMiniman is with us. He's an alderman candidate in Ward 7. Ran in 95, lost in a very close race to Bruce Strom. Has not run for alderman since and is back at it this term. Did you seek the endorsement of either political party?
Sam, I did not, and in that regard, I'm running the same way I did 16 years ago. In fact, I just finalized my brochure that will be mailed out to every household with a voting member this week, and it talks about how my only political obligation will be to the voters of Ward 7. I'm taking no monies from political parties. I'm taking no monies from collective bargaining units. I'm taking no money from commercial interests to the extent that I can define them. And I know, and I'm not putting down those that have to take monies for a much larger campaign. I mean, that you know, you've got to raise money to get your message out, and I understand that. But fortunately, at the aldermanic level, where you're talking about maybe 4,000 voters, you really can put on a campaign that's not dependent on interests that may, you know, lean down on you or, twist your arm. So I have no political obligations out there. And my obligation will be to the voters of Ward 7. So, no, I did not seek endorsements from either party.
When you ran first time, and I guess you're more Democrat than you are Republican. I'm just going to say that, and you can correct me. But did you get the endorsement of either? As I recalled, I was living in the ward at the time. I recall that Secretary of State George Ryan got involved in your aldermanic campaign a little bit.
Well, you're right. I was surprised by that. And by the way, he at that time he had a rental property.
Absolutely.
On a nice
on Gulf Road.
On Gulf Road. And
right.
I was lived on Lindsay Road, so I was literally two blocks away.
Sure.
And he did write a letter. I've still got a copy of it to every voter. Might have been targeted just to Republicans, mm-hmm. say vote for the other candidate if you want, for whatever reasons. And so that was a disappointment. It was a close race. I keep thinking, maybe I shouldn't have gone to guard duty, in March and February and instead been going door to door on those two weekends as well. I could have closed the gap. So I'm being consistent with the way I was, 16 years ago. And there's another thought that's kind of escaped me here, that I was going to talk about, Sam.
Was it the Democrats? Didn't the Democrat committeeman in that race?
Oh, yeah.
Even come out and endorse your opponent?
I stayed independent. At that time, I think Bill Houlihan was chairman of the local Democrat Party.
Mm-hmm.
And, Bill's kind of a neighbor. My wife taught, one or two of his children.
Mm-hmm.
And, he was very willing to offer help. And I think Bill is a really good downstate coordinator for Senator
Durbin. Sure, absolutely.
But I turned it down. And, as chairman, he was prepared to write a letter to all the Democrats. And I turned it down. So, I'm being consistent this time in not. I think the voters are smart enough. In a local race like this, they really can, by reputation, by word of mouth, the voters in an automatic race oftentimes know who they're voting for and for what reasons, and they don't have to be swayed by a label. And I understand that there's a reason for labels. In a very large, 20-county district, you kind of go with the label because you have to have some way to make up your mind when you can't get as much information maybe as you'd like to get.
Joe McMiniman, final question. What are the voters telling you? When you knock on the doors of the voters in Ward 7, what's on their mind?
I heard your interview with Mike Higgins, and I really respect Mike. I think he's got an outstanding restaurant, and over the years, my wife and I, as a special, you know, anniversary dinner, maybe we'd go to Baldiner's, and we really enjoy it, and I respect Mike, and I respect John Lorenzana, too. I noticed that he collected every one of his signatures running for alderman, all 300 signatures he collected himself. And by the way, I didn't use any precinct committeemen out there collecting my signatures. It was my wife, my son, daughter, two independent voters, two Republican voters, two Democrat voters. But what's on the minds of voters? And in your interview with Mike Higgins, you know, he made, I thought a reflection that local issues, you know, the sidewalk. And I remember a mother a couple of weekends ago saying, my visually impaired daughter, I worried about her tripping on the sidewalk. And then older residents, I can't go for a walk. I worry about the sidewalks. And in my own local neighborhood, we've been wanting a sidewalk to get safely to Washington Park on Old Jacksonville Road. Portions of it do not have a sidewalk or even a hard shoulder on the side for a bicycle, let's say. So those local issues are on the minds of voters. I disagree with Mike in one respect. He said the voters don't talk about the budget. Actually, there's thoughtful and informed voters, and they say last weekend, for example, Joe, you know, if you get in there, you're going to have a tough job because there's not much room to maneuver with the budget. They're mindful of that. You know, there's not much you're going to be able to do until this we will get a better budget because revenue is picking up. If you look at the State General Register on Sundays, you see the sales tax receipts for the city. They're growing. They were about $4 million a month. Now they're getting up to $4.5 million a month. So that's some growth. And I think if we are tight-fisted with the budget, 80% of the budget is payroll and benefits, and we got to watch that very closely. And I've talked about the firefighter agreements and so forth. I respect Mayor Edwards and what he's doing with the firefighters right now. He's asking for some concessions to reduce the amount of overtime, and I think he's taking a leadership role in that. I wish there's more time. I was going to say something positive about each one of our four mayoral candidates because we are very fortunate. We have four quality candidates, and they've all got their pluses.
Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Sam.
I appreciate it, Joe McMinniman. Very informative, and I can detect there's a passion in your voice, and you feel strongly about the office you're running for.
Thanks a lot, Sam, and it's great to live in a democracy.
Thank you, my friend. Joe McMinniman, Aldermanic Candidate, Ward 7, stopped by to say hello.